What's up? It's your host, Tori, and who is ready to be petty? Welcome back to another episode of RTBP. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm back with two very special guests, Megan and Jenny. Megan and Jenny, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having us, Tori. We've been so excited to talk to you.
Oh my gosh. It's mutual because I was just on Megan and Jenny's podcast, What We're Watching, and we discussed The Notebook.
A classic.
It was so good.
It was so good. I forgot about it for a moment, which is wild because Ryan Gosling is having such a moment, but and even Rachel McAdams with the Mean Girls resurgence, but I just kind of forgot how much of a gem it was.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're both everywhere right now, so it's fun to go back and see them in one of their first projects because they look so young and it's so cute.
It's super cute. So everyone go listen to that. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves and your podcast?
Yeah, so What We're Watching is kind of a behind-the-scenes fun facts and recap podcast, and we mostly talk about Y2K, nostalgic favorite movies. So Tori said, we talked about The Notebook. We just did an episode on How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. We've talked about Princess Diaries. You get the vibe. So it's fun. It's a party.
And how did you two meet? I actually don't think I know this.
So we actually met through mutual friends. We met because Megan went on a terrible hike with my boyfriend and her husband, and I was not there because I knew this hike was going to be terrible.
That's so funny. So just wait, your partners both know each other, mm-hmm. and then that's how you met?
Yeah, we both moved to Denver around the same time, same year, during COVID, and I went to college with my husband and her boyfriend and a couple of our mutual friends, but we didn't know each other in school, and then when we all moved here, we kind of became a group by familiar association when it was impossible to make friends during the pandemic. So,
and we found out that we are the same person. Yeah. And we really love movies and we love screenwriting. And so that's kind of how we became friends.
Yeah. Nice. That's amazing. I love that. Because it's really hard to make friends when you're post-grad. And COVID times was even harder. We're going to talk about some really fun stuff today. I am so excited. So we're going to talk about the Madame Web press tour. We're going to talk about Nick Viall's recent birth of his first child, Love is Blind season 6, and some Taylor Swift updates, because I feel like I should just start putting in a constant segment about Taylor Swift. I felt that about the Kardashians. Now I haven't been talking about them too much, but I feel like Taylor could be up there. And then Jenny's going to nominate a Pettyweight Champion of the Week, and Megan's going to share her This Week in Petty. So let's get into it. Madame Web, have either of you actually watched the movie?
No.
Mm-mm. I wanted to, and then I heard how horrible it was, and I was just well, never mind. Have you?
Are you Marvel? No. I couldn't be caught dead watching a movie. Watching The Notebook was a special.
Really?
Thank you for your service.
I say this all the time, even though last night or 2 nights ago, I watched 6 hours of Vanderpump. I just can't do the length of a movie, but for some reason I can with TV. But I do often rewatch old movies, and when I say old, I mean 2000s, 2010s movies. But I don't go to the theater and watch movies or anything. And I hate superheroes, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think, is pointless. Am I gonna get canceled?
No, I think a lot of people agree. I don't think superheroes are for everybody. I like the Marvel movies, but not recently. The last few have not been that good. But when we were in the peak Iron Man, Hulk, Avengers, I liked those.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of maybe lost some of their prestige because now there's just 400 of them.
I'm tired. I'm so tired.
Yeah. There's just I don't know, maybe it's not as innovative or whatever, but regardless, there wasn't a lot of hype about this movie. And I don't know, maybe we could put our tinfoil hats on and say that the press tour was creating buzz around it so people go see it. I have no idea, but the movie came out. It was like a big, big flop, but kind of the press tour is covering up the movie blunder because everyone's talking about this and no one's talking about how like it was just like an okay movie that will like never recoup its original budget. Yeah.
I know.
So if people don't know what we're talking about, Dakota Johnson is the lead. She's Madame Web, I'm assuming. She's the lead in the movie. And she has been getting a lot of flack for just like her disinterest in the franchise. What do you two think about some of these like viral clips?
I was thinking about this today. That I wonder if the, like, Marvel, Sony, whoever is in charge of this, execs are, like, so pissed off that she just seems so disinterested in the movie, or if they're, like, grateful because she's the only reason anybody's talking about it, you know? So I don't know. Like, it's so amusing to hear her talk ever in public because she's just, like, she's just interesting. She's interesting with her opinions and, like, to see her just like not care about this movie and clearly not want to be there is like so hilarious to watch because we never ever see that, and it's like enough that it makes me want to see the movie now, weirdly. What do you think?
Part of me just thinks it's her being her.
Yeah.
When I watch the clips, I'm like, I think she's just being Dakota Johnson. Like, I don't know if she's that upset or disinterested in the movie. She definitely doesn't care about Marvel or superheroes at all, so yeah, we'll say that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like back to, and like to be honest, I like literally can't even name a movie she's in outside of 50 Shades of Grey, which I know she has been in some. I feel like that's like rude, but has she ever been interested in acting? Because I feel like during the 50 Shades press tour, she also acted disinterested, or maybe that's just her vibe. Like, she's so mellow.
I think she has the like honesty complex where she like can't not be authentic, like quote authentic. Like, I feel like that's what's happening in her brain. If she's not proud to be like part of the movie, then she's not gonna like fake excitement for the sake of doing it, you know? Like, it's reminding me of her shutting Ellen down, the like iconic moment, because she was just so happy to give her opinion and like did not care what the repercussions were going to be or what anyone's reaction was going to be. And I feel like that's just who she is.
Totally. And that probably comes from being like a nepo baby and like the privilege that comes around that, because I feel like with her acting, it's like, yeah, she could continue to act or she could just like live her life with Chris Martin and like never be in a film again and like be totally fine.
She might not after this.
Yeah, that's it. But like, Kate, then I'm like, okay, but is it even her fault? Why are we casting her, no offense, as a superhero and like in the character is a ambulance, like a paramedic? It's like, why? Like, she gives no paramedic vibes. She gives no superhero vibes like at all. So I'm like, is it the production company's fault for casting a person because of their name and that only? Or is it her fault because she could fake like a little bit of like excitement?
I don't know. I was watching the trailer and like she just seems like such a weird fit. Honestly, I thought Sydney Sweeney was going to be the lead of this movie because all I had heard about the movie was that Sydney Sweeney was going to be in it. So then watching the trailer and Dakota Johnson is in the middle, it like was shocking. So yeah, I don't know. I'm sure if we see her again, we will see her in a totally different way. Like, we'll see her in a rom-com, or we'll see her in, like, a... I could see her in one of those, like, office, like, workplace rom-coms or something like that. I could see that.
Yes, totally. And now that I'm thinking about it, when you mentioned rom-com, she was in a romantic movie. Was it called, like... was it a Sense and Sensibility remake?
That sounds right.
She was in some type of period piece and people were like, she has iPhone face. Like, she shouldn't be in this movie, which like is true. like is really true. But I actually liked the movie. It was called Persuasion. Mm. It's written by Jane Austen, who also obviously wrote Sense and Sensibility. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cute. It was probably the one film I watched in 2022. So. Okay, Megan, you mentioned Sydney Sweeney. All the other cast members, when they've been doing press together, so there's like her, and then there's kind of three other women, Cindy Sweeney, Celeste O'Connor, and Isabella Merced. And they're like, yeah, she left us on bread. Like, we don't hang out with her and stuff like that. Jenny, what did you think about the girls, like, not hanging out with Dakota?
I think it was Dakota's fault.
That's so funny.
I love her, but I don't think she tried to connect with the other girls.
Yeah,
From the press tour, from what she's saying in the interviews, it just seems like she put herself as an outsider. You know,
I know, but then, okay, so I agree 100%, but then I was also like, she's literally 10 years these women's senior. It's like, I also don't want to hang out with like a 20-year-old or whatever, so like, I kind of think that's fair.
Yeah, it might have just been awkward for her. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like in the Dune 2 press when I think it was Zendaya and Florence Pugh, and they're like, yeah, we don't have a group chat. And I was like, oh, that's like really awkward. Like, because even if you don't have a group chat to like text about like fun stuff, you should probably have one just to like coordinate plans and stuff. So I'm like, oh wow, you like really don't hang out with these people.
Yeah, that surprises me, because you would think minimum I would want to be like, but I guess they're pros, I would want to be like, hey, I'm gonna get to set 15 yeah. minutes early today, blah blah blah, do you want a coffee?
Yeah, but yes yeah, I guess not. I don't know, it's not like they have animosity though, but I would try to be besties with all of them. Her outfits though have been very beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's gone the route of like theming her outfits after the movie, so like lots of like web, sparkly web designs, and I really like this trend. I don't think it's like a new trend per se, but like Zendaya does this really well, and obviously Margot Robbie with her Barbie movie has done this really well.
Yeah, I love it.
I do feel like it helps her case a little bit with, like, the press tour being kind of awkward. Because it's like, well, at least she's representing the movie, like, on the red carpet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's, like, probably her stylist that's like, you gotta wear this. Like, no, we'll see. We'll see. If she's a mellow girl, like, she was in one press junket and there was an earthquake and she, like, didn't even react. So it's like, I don't know, whatever like barbiturate she's on, like, I feel like she should let us all know. But yeah, like if she's just that low key, I think that's fine. I think it's bad when she's like, yeah, I haven't seen the final cut, I can't name other movies in the franchise or even list. Like, she was asked, who is your favorite female like hero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And like, she couldn't even name one. And I'm like, that is basic, like a Google search, but or like, again, her PR person, like writing down these answers before she goes into an interview.
I don't even think you have to see a Marvel movie to know at least one female superhero, right?
You would think. I'm like racking my brain. The only one I can think of is Captain Marvel. Isn't that Brie Larson? Mm-hmm. That's literally the only woman I can think of from the franchise.
It's really just her and Scarlett Johansson.
I was going to say
Black Widow. Oh, yeah, as Black Widow. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, maybe it was a trick question then.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, no, the real question should have been, do you like Black Widow or Captain Marvel? Like, that's so funny.
What I loved about the earthquake
interview,
though, was the interviewer was like, did you just do that? And she goes, I don't know. Did I?
She doesn't give a fuck. No. Like, she really doesn't give a fuck. I love that deadpan humor that she has. I like, I need more of that. I like, I'm just never that mellow of a person. Like, I'm always high strung. I always have like a frenetic, and people in my real life are probably like, no, you're like a sloth. you're like not like that at all. But like, I feel like when I'm talking to people and stuff like that, like, I'm all over the place, and she just has she has a stillness that I just can never embody.
Same. But I kind of admire it. I kind of like that about her.
Me too. It's like, I think she was the one that had that quote that was like, I like sleep 12 hours a day. And then like, yeah. What was that, Megan? Do you remember?
I think it was that she sleeps at least 10 hours a night, but I think she said like 13 would be ideal. or something, and that's what blew up. And then I think she said something because someone was like, everyone's freaking out about this. And I think she came back in another quote and was like, I didn't say I always get 13 hours. I just said it would be nice if I got that sometimes, which
did you guys see that study? Or maybe it's not even a study. Maybe it's just a TikTok. But people are talking about how...
Story of my life. Like, literal story of my life.
I know, it's so bad. But people are talking about how all of the sleep studies were done on men. And so the thing that you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night is for men, and women actually need more. We need more. Like 10 plus, and that tracks for me. So
me too.
Yeah, that makes so much more sense, because that happens all the time, and I feel like we have more going on. So
yeah, way more. Yeah. Wow, I feel like I've been going around to my family for the last like months, maybe years, being like, I'm just a long sleeper, I just need 10 hours. Just every woman. Just no, every woman on the planet needs that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Nick Vielle. He welcomed his first child with his girlfriend, Natalie Joy, on February 2nd. And the couple announced River Rose's arrival on February 5th via Instagram. River Rose is named after Natalie's great-grandmother and her niece. What are our thoughts on River Rose Vielle?
I think it's cute. I would never name my daughter River personally, but I like the River Rose. I think it's cute. What are your thoughts on Nick in general?
Oh, hate.
Same. Okay.
Oh, absolutely hate. Are you both Bachelor watchers?
No, I'm not.
I do. Well, I have gotten back into it. I stopped watching a few years ago, and then I just am rewatching this season for the first time again in a while. But I watched all of Nick's season.
Oh, yeah. He had a good season to watch. I like, everyone's like, shut up. But like, because I've said this a million times, I watched like first season to like 2017 or something like that. And then I fell off. Actually, I think that's a lie. I fell off around Becca Kufrin's season. I think I came back for Matt James's season, and then I fell off. I'm kind of dabbling in Joey's season just because he's so cute. He's so cute.
You should get back into this one. This is the one.
Yeah, I've seen the clips with Maria and like Daisy and stuff like that. I do actually think I could get back into it, but I just won't. I can't watch 2 hours. Like, I just can't.
No, that's
and
fair.
I need to stop saying I can't, and I just say I won't watch 2 hours of The Bachelor a week. But yeah, I used to be a Nick Vielle truther. Like, I used to really like him for some reason, but now I've heard him speak more, and I'm like, I hate you.
Same.
River Rose, it's not the worst name. I also wouldn't name my kid that. I don't know. I do like it together, River Rose, but I feel like when a kid goes to school and stuff like that, it just like starts being River, and then
yeah River without the Rose, Jenny? I don't like as much.
Yeah, it doesn't have like that like double R.
I like it. I would name my kid River. I really like the name. I think as far as like
now that you two chat on the name, I actually like it. I'm sorry, Jenny.
No, I'm glad that you're like saying that, because if I was on a podcast and two people just said they hated it, I would have been like, yeah, like. The worst name I've ever heard. No, I love that. It's not bad. We've seen so many worse celebrity baby names.
I was going to say that. Like, it seems pretty tame to me.
I think a lot of these people, I don't know, maybe I guess it's not the same for, like, Vanderpump with Ocean and Summer Moon. But, like, I do think, like, lower-level celebrities know that they can't pull off, like, a...
Apple.
North. Yeah, Apple, yeah. Saint... Psalm type of like name, and they go like a little bit more cash, but I guess that's not for everybody. Yesterday I was looking at his Instagram, and he was posting Instagram stories all through the night of him comforting River Rose, and he like tagged all of them with timestamps, and I was like, I hate that. I can't.
I also just like shudder to think what this is gonna do to his already insane confidence on his podcast of giving like to give women advice. Like, now that he has a daughter, it hurts me to just think about what he's going to do with that information. But I like Natalie. Totally. I think I like Natalie.
No, I know. I've seen, like, again, clips of her on the pod, and, like, she seems cool, which is just so weird. Yeah, but you're right. Like, he's going to run with this because now he can't, like, he can give advice as a father.
Horrible. He's going to be like, well, if you were my daughter, I would tell you blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, ugh, hate.
Yeah.
Jenny, he has, like, built his so brand brutal. Post-Bachelor and his podcast on giving women dating advice.
So, okay. Except for he's, like, I was going to say 50. No, he's, like, 42 or something like that and married a 22-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would not take dating advice from a man anyway, so.
No. It's like, yeah, it's like, that's number one. Yeah. Number two was, like, you were perpetually single and then had a child bride. So, like met her at 19. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But he is, like, the podcast to go to. That's the other thing that's pissed me off is he has parlayed his Bachelor, like, his time on The Bachelor into a career that I would say a lot of people haven't even watched his season that listen to his podcast. He gets so many huge guests.
Yeah, I think the only episode I've ever actually listened to of it is the Gypsy Rose one. Mm-hmm. And I highly enjoyed, not him, but like hearing her speak. And it's weird. He's mm-hmm. done all, he's like pulled an Alex Cooper maneuver, I feel like, where he's gone from this, not reality star, but he's like become this serious interviewer that has a ton of pull to get guests.
I know. That pisses me off too, because it's like, not that you can't start a podcast, but it's like, we have conversational podcasts and like commentary podcasts where he has like interview podcasts. And I'm like, you're not like a journalist or an interviewer or anything. Not that you like always need formal education to do a job well, but I'm just like, you are just like some random.
Yeah, it's the condescension for me.
Okay, let's move on to Love is Blind. I'm assuming both of you are watching this season.
Yep. I'm a new convert. I have never watched Love is Blind. And then 2 days ago, I started watching it and I am caught up through all 9 episodes. And 3 of them were released today.
You watched the new ones, Jenny!
Okay, yeah. You have to fill us in. Oh my god, that's so funny. I covered seasons 2 to 4. So I watched seasons 2 to 4. I think it was it on my Patreon? No, I think it was on Sophie's Patreon. Sophie, a longtime collaborator of mine, and I'm so excited to tell people that, because she hasn't been on the pod for 1.5 years. She took a little bit of a podcast sabbatical, but we're podcasting next week, or next month, I should say. I don't think it's next week. I think it's next month. And I am so excited. And she was like, I think Love is Blind will be wrapped up by then so we can talk about it. And I was like, I actually just like don't know if I can watch it. I get so tired of TV shows, of dating reality TV shows that are like post their first or second season because the people just come in so like clout chasey.
Yeah.
Is that the case with this season?
I don't know. This season they seem more weirdly serious. It seems like there's less drama than there has been in the past. What do you think, Jenny? I guess you haven't seen the previous ones. Yeah. But as a new person, do you think that they're coming in looking for like the Instagram following?
A couple of them, for sure. A couple of them. And then a couple of them, I've just, like, spied little things where I'm like, oh, you're growing your business. And, like, TikTok is on your vision board. Okay. Interesting. You know? But as someone who's never watched it before, I can't really compare.
Yeah, I think it's hard because the first season was, like, it's kind of like Trista and Ryan, who was the first Bachelorette, and like she is still married to her winner pick like 20 years later, whereas like the first season couple was kind of like that. So it's a hard like act to follow when you have that perfect of a first season. And I really enjoyed seasons 2 to 4. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough, yeah, when you can see the signs of people just being there for an influencer career. But yeah, Jenny, as Jenny said, there are 9 episodes out, and like one of the storylines went absolutely viral this past weekend where Chelsea, a lovely contestant, I'm assuming everyone knows what Love is Blind is, but if you don't, it's where contestants are put into pods where they can't see each other and they go on dates and just talk through like a screen. And then after 2 weeks, they had to propose to one another to be able to meet and see each other in person. And there was a contestant named Chelsea, and she was talking with, she had like 2 people that she was really into. Their names were Jimmy and Trevor. And she's talking to Jimmy. And this is also something that I don't like in the later seasons that didn't happen in like the first season, where because it's supposed to be Love is Blind and this big experiment about can you fall in love not knowing anything about what the person looks like, you expect that they don't know what the person looks like. But in recent seasons, they can basically flat out describe everything about the way that they look. And they don't get, like, penalized for it or anything. So in previous seasons, like, I remember there was a contestant named Shake. And he kept asking, like, subtle questions. Like, so do you like to, like, work out? Or, like, this is really bad, but, like, could I pick you up? Like, could I carry you or, like, pick you up or something like that? Like, he was clearly trying to get the woman to describe what she looked like or, like, that type of thing. But they, like, had to be kind of coy about it. And now they're just like, who's your celeb lookalike? Like, that's not fair, I feel like.
It defeats the purpose, I feel like.
Totally.
What do you guys think about Chelsea comparing herself to Megan Fox?
I think she does kind of look like Megan Fox. Yeah. I think she is the one who brought up the conversation to tell Jimmy that she looked like Megan Fox. And I think it swayed his decision. And so I didn't like that. That was the part that bothered me. What do you think?
Do you think it's so interesting? Do you think it was that small of a like a deal breaker between him and so if people aren't watching, basically Jimmy also had two potential matches, Jessica and Chelsea, both beautiful women. And Chelsea says, I like people have compared me to MGK's girlfriend. She doesn't say Megan Fox outright. And then he's like, Megan Fox. And she's like, yeah, it's just because this is a direct quote. It's just because I have dark hair and blue eyes. But I don't see it, so don't get excited. Do you think it was that small of a, like, a differential between those two women?
I feel like he was leaning away from Jess because of the child thing and, like, their conflict. So I think it was just at the same, it was, like, perfect storm, where then he said that and he's like, okay, I know that she's hot and she's not complicated, whereas I'm having these issues with Jess and she has a child, which would make my life a little more complicated. Because I thought that he was leaning Jess and I thought that she was leaning Trevor. So I was surprised that this happened in the first place. But I also think she looks like Megan Fox. I think her face. I think she's getting so much shit online. Like, would I mistake her for Megan Fox? No. But, like, especially her mouth and the way she speaks does look a lot like her. And I wanted to pop Jimmy in the face when he was like, so she lied about what she looks like.
She did not. She did not lie that people have been telling her that she looks like Megan Fox. I would tell her she looks like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Also, she's beautiful, stunning, gorgeous. Like,
totally. Mm-hmm. And he, like, is the most, like, basic man I've ever seen in my fucking life. Like, he's just, like, a normal dude. Yeah, I think she looks like Megan Fox. Like, yeah, she definitely has a different chin. And, like, yeah, she's not, like, a dead ringer for her. But if you look at her, like, nose and her eyes and stuff like that, she defo looks like her. Yeah, did she do it as, like, to get a one-up? I guess, like, you're always trying to one-up other contestants in this environment. And they really, like, you know, stoke the flames of competition. But I feel bad for her that she's getting, like, absolutely roasted online. Everyone's like, she doesn't look a thing like her and stuff like that. I can't even think of... Her friends in an episode that came out, I think, today, were like, people say that you look like Carrie Underwood, which I see less, honestly. But, like, I'm like, who would you even say she looks like as a celeb?
No one else.
No one else comes to mind.
No.
I don't think.
They're the only ones. It's only Megan. I feel like Megan, in recent months, looks so different. Like, I feel like if we were comparing, like, maybe like 2020 pictures or something like that, like, it would be even a closer comparison
or younger. Mm-hmm. Even or, like, we did an episode on Jennifer's body, and I feel like the way that Megan Fox, like, spoke and talked before, presumably she had like work done on her face, she looks amazing now. She just looks a little bit different, and I can see the correlation way more with how Megan Fox used to look, like you're saying.
Totally. But yeah, she ends up picking Jimmy, or they pick each other, and then they meet each other, and he's like dead look into camera, and he's like, yeah, you like definitely kind of like left out some details or like kind of like misled me, but like saying that he could basically work with what she looked like, which, like,
I just am like, how is their whole brain the whole time not going, if I end up happy and married to this person, they are not going to want to be with me anymore if they see what I'm saying about them on national television. Totally. Like, that would be my 100% consume my brain, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. And just, like, that, is that really all you care about in, like, a long-term relationship? Like, I don't know. I thought we had, like, really passed, like, moved past that, but I guess we haven't.
It also makes me sad because I feel like Chelsea is a little bit insecure, I think, just based on some of the comments she's made, especially with them in person, where you can kind of tell. And just thinking about her having to watch him say that after his first reaction makes me so sad for her.
Totally. She's being really funny on TikTok. She's posting a lot on TikTok, and there was one that she posted that I thought was really funny, and she was like, it would be a great time for all the people who ever told me that I looked like Megan Fox to come out and, like, say something right now.
I saw
that. I was like, yeah, fucking call them out. And, like, people should be supporting her, like, make those videos. Poor girl.
And in her TikToks, she does look like Megan Fox. She totally does.
I know.
I don't get it.
I know.
I bet if she had black hair and it was long, this would not even be a conversation, I bet.
I think people are just mad that she brought it up. She's the one who was like, so, do you have anyone that people tell you that you look like? And she was doing that, obviously, to be able to say that she looked like MGK's girlfriend.
Yeah, like, even the way that she, like, answered it in that way, trying to be like, what's her name again? Oh, right, Megan, like...
Yeah, you don't
if
forget
you know
Megan Fox.
MGK.
Especially if people are confusing you for her on the air, like, on the airplane.
Totally.
I would remember that for the rest of my life.
Same.
Totally. If anyone ever said that I had a celebrity, like, doppelganger, like, you think about that all the time. You're, like, posting pics and stuff like that.
Totally.
My God. But, yeah, in there's, like, a little bit of drama because they're out of the pods now. They went on, like, their vacay. And Jimmy allegedly sent a friend request to Jess and then, like, withdrew it. So he's being, like, fucking shady. Sorry if that was a spoiler.
No,
for you,
no,
Megan.
It's okay. No, I'm glad you said something. Cause I'm like, I watched the first episode of this next, like, group of three, and I'm just dying to know what happens between them. Cause the preview looked not good.
Juicy. Yeah. In the preview, which we don't know what happens about this, Chelsea is saying to Jimmy, like, I know you fucked her. I'm, like, fucking dead if he cheated on her. Like, what a sleazebag.
I have a theory on that, but I don't want to spoil.
It's fine.
You, if you don't.
I'm literally going to watch it after this. Spoil away.
Oh, my God. Okay. I think I know what it is, too, from these episodes skimmed.
You?
Yeah, maybe.
I think, so in one of the episodes, Chelsea meets Jimmy's friends who are girls. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just so insecure about how he feels about her, which he's probably just, like, not doing the things that she needs. He's not giving her the affirmation that she needs. And he said some, like, crappy things to her. So I get it. But I also think she needs to be confident because, like, she is great. And I don't know. I think the insecurity is getting between their relationship. But my theory is that she's saying, I know you fucked her in the past about one of his friends.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's my theory.
Yeah, because that would be fucking wild if it was Jess. I will watch the season if it's Jessica. If it's one of his friends, I'll catch up on TikTok. Are there any other good storylines from season 6 that, like, this one went super viral, like, beyond the reality TV, like, bubble on TikTok? But yeah, any other couples that we're, like, rooting for?
I think this week we're gonna see a lot of people talking about Kenneth and Brittany. They were a couple I originally really, really loved, and then my feelings have changed, so I'm curious, Megan, when you catch up, what you think.
Yeah, I'm the most anxious about them right now because I loved them in the pods and right after. And again, the preview made it look like things were not gonna go well. But I have a hunch that this season in general is going to have a lot less drama and they're going to have more marriages come out of it, I think, with where I am right now. Because, like, in their whole time in their, like, little honeymoon in the Dominican Republic, I think that's where they went, the only drama there was at all was the whole thing with Jimmy talking to AD and then that making Chelsea jealous, and that's, like, what caused their argument. That's it. And normally there's like blow ups and like last season I think somebody went home and like they had to make this into a big deal. And I'm only one episode into the next group of three, and already all of the previews, like things from the preview, turned out to be nothing. So yeah. I think they're like trying to hype up like there's a bunch of drama coming, and they're going to end up with some more happy couples, which I think is what the franchise needs, because they haven't really had a lot of couples that are long lasting to root for really since season one. They've had like one or two here and there. So
yeah. Yeah. I can't even think of any that are still together. But I don't know. I didn't watch five though, but
I know there's two that are pregnant from more recent seasons. I'm trying to remember their names.
Wild.
Alexa.
Oh, yes, you're totally right.
And Brennan.
Yes, Brennan. Yes. It's TV that, like, goes in one ear and out the other. So it's, like, totally. It's really hard to remember storylines.
Yeah.
God. Okay, let's talk about Taylor Swift. Are you both Swifties? I'm assuming. Oh, yes. Megan, you talked a little bit about this.
Yes. We both love her, but I feel like we're both also critical. So not, like, you know, diehard. I'm not a Twitter Swiftie, you know.
But she is the only person I listen to, so.
Yes, I think this is what we were talking about. I was like, she does frustrate me sometimes, but, like, if you look at the music I listen to, it's, like, it's just her.
Same.
Like, it's just, this is Taylor Swift on Spotify.
Yeah.
Like, on shuffle.
Yeah,
it's same. So bad. So, she is, like, yeah, consistently stayed in the news since we last talked about her. There's a few updates that we have. First off, she dropped an alternative cover for the Tortured Poets Department. Beautiful, but like depressing, but like intriguing. I don't know. I'm very excited to see what the vibe of this album is.
Mm-hmm.
And she announced there is going to be an exclusive track on one of the vinyls that she is selling. It's called The Bolter, and it's kind of annoying, just gonna put it out there, because she already announced another bonus track, The Manuscript, on like another physical CD, and I'm like, especially as a Canadian girly who I guess I could order it online because I don't think it's a Target exclusive, but like, man, it is so annoying when you don't get the songs immediately on streaming services.
Agreed. And I'm actually the most annoyed about it because from the looks of the alternative cover, I don't think the manuscript is on the Bolter version. So that means you would need to get both. No,
it's not. You have to get both.
No, yes. I want it on streaming. I want all the music.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to buy two, but I need the songs.
No, I know. So it's like also if you already bought the first version, now you have to buy two more to get the other ones. Like, that's insane.
And there's more coming. Better believe it. There's going to be like five or six, I bet you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there always is like five or six versions, like different colors and stuff like that. Like we saw that most recently with 1989, but like all the different colors. But yeah. And the Target exclusive tracks, again, aren't a new thing. But this just seems extra cash grabby for no fucking reason.
Agreed. I'm kind of surprised that she's doing it. Because I know that she listens to the criticism that people give her online. And I feel like for a while, there's been a lot of like, we're kind of tired of this capitalistic 5,000 versions, 5,000 t-shirts, Taylor. And she's still doing it. So maybe this will be the only other one that she releases, I hope.
Is it just her team? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, you're right. I do sometimes feel like we blame a lot on Taylor Swift when it's like, it's not like she's the single-handed, like, person making these decisions. Or the single-handed person making these decisions. Mm-hmm. Single-handedly making these
yeah,
decisions.
There it is.
There we go. Totally. Like, there's obviously, like, a team around her of, like, business people. So, yeah, that is a really good point. I know she also listens to the criticism. I think it's just, like, celebs. Not celebs, singers. Like, they don't make a lot of money off of, like, touring and streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like they need to supplement it with these other things. And I know that sounds insane because she has the biggest tour of the year. But I think, like, I don't know. I think it's, like, pretty well known that you don't make, like, gobs of money. So I guess they also feel like they have to do this. But it's, like, you also have enough money. Like, you can... you can chill out for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people buy all of them. So I'm sure in her brain, she's just like, people are complaining, but not that much. So.
I'm sorry. I just had a thought. Does it all count towards the tortured poets department doing well, though?
Oh, like in the charts?
Yeah. Like, does that count?
I don't know. Well, like, I guess it would for album sales, probably. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it would all count. But then, like, Billboard charts, I think that's streaming numbers. So if you buy the physical vinyl or album, that wouldn't count.
Mm.
That's a good point, though, because you can just buy the digital copy, which I think, like, I don't know if that counts towards anything outside of just album sales. But it's like, we know the album's going to do well regardless, but she always wants to break records. And I think the other thing that seems kind of predatory, and maybe I'm thinking way too much into this, but like, I feel like she knows that her fans are people like her that are like completionists and collectors and want everything like the package, the vision. And I just feel like she knows, or her team knows, I should say, that people will do that. Like, they'll make the Midnight's Clock and buy all 4 fucking records and stuff like that. Like, they just know that everyone will, or most people will do that. But not us.
I'm a 1 record girl.
Yeah, I'm a 0. I'm like, I'll stream you on Spotify, and that is it. Like,
I already pay for Spotify. I'm not paying for another thing.
Yeah.
Literally. So the Bolter, I don't know. People are saying that a few things. There is a bar in London called the Bolter, which is where she used to live with Joel Alwyn, obviously. And then people are also saying, like, it's funny because he is the Bolter. Like, he would bolt from paparazzi leaving, like, parties and stuff like that. Do you think that this is, like, about Joe? Like, do you think those theories hold any weight?
I like the bar theory. I think that could be cute. Like dive bar on the east side, but London version. I could see that, maybe, because I don't know what else it would mean. I don't think it means the Bolter, like the runner.
like Usain Bolt. Yeah. Like,
I want it to. I like
me
it.
Too. Yeah. Me too, because it's so funny. But I was like, what the fuck would the song be about if it's about running or even paparazzi? I guess that's what it would be about. I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll fucking find out.
April Maybe it's 19th. About running from, like, the troubles of the relationship, like, running from conflict. Like, we can
getaway car vibes. Interesting. She's the Bolter, maybe.
Ooh, that's a good flip. Mm.
Interesting.
I like that. Or she does talk about Joe as being, like, conflict avoidant in You're Losing Me. So it could also mean that, like, he's running away from the problem.
Mm.
Right. And the paparazzi. Yeah.
Interesting. He's just gonna get buried totally in this album. So bad. Oh my god. Anything else you want to both say about Tortured Poets?
I'm excited for it. I know I'm gonna love it.
Same. I like the aesthetic. I've heard some people say, based on the leaks, that it gives like Red X folklore. Is that what I heard?
Red X Evermore.
Okay,
which
yes,
is like
whatever.
Such a minute, like, what's the diff, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's that, that is exactly like what I'm looking for in a new album. I'd be so excited if it was that.
Me too. Those are my favorite. So, dream scenario. I hope that's true.
Yeah. I think there was another interesting piece about this is that we all thought, because we looked at all of the Eras Tour dates with her international leg of the tour, and we noticed this big month break in April, and we all thought she could, like, headline Coachella, or, like, I don't know why I said it like that, Coachella.
You have to say it like that.
Coachella, like, we're like, okay, yeah, she could, like, do something wild then. I don't know if there was any other rumors per se, but I definitely saw the Coachella one, and it's like, no, that's just another album coming out. She's gonna be doing press, I guess, for that. Like, insane.
I don't know how she sleeps. I don't know when she sleeps. She does so much, and that's why I love her.
Yeah, because, like, she has help. Obviously, she has tons of help. She probably doesn't do a lot of basic things. But I do think she has a high control over, like, I think, like, if you compared her to other celebrities, her and, like, Kim Kardashian, I feel like, have really high control over their image and what they're doing and their schedule and, like, all of that stuff.
One more thing on this album. Do you guys think, because I've seen two schools of thought on her saying, I've been waiting to tell you guys about this for 2 years, or I've been working on this for 2 years or something. Do you think that means she finished it 2 years ago? Or do you think that means that she's been working on it for 2 years?
That is such a good question, because I do think when this fall / winter, she was wearing the, like, cable knit sweaters and schoolgirl skirts with, like, high socks and loafers and stuff like that. I feel like that she was, like, recording. I feel like she needs to, like, look the part. And I feel like that would have been perfect for the tortured poets. But then I'm like, she has to be doing also the re-records at this point as well. Because I feel like she wants to wrap that up, you know, within the next year or so. So I have no idea.
I hadn't even thought about it. I just assumed that she's been working on it for the past 2 years. Especially because isn't there a song called Florida on it?
Yeah.
And that's, wasn't she in Florida for the Eras tour, like, right when the breakup was announced?
True.
Yeah.
So I don't know why else she would have a song called Florida, but maybe it's older.
So, yeah, okay, so that doesn't make sense then, because if she says, I have been working on this for 2 years, which is when we got You're Losing Me, but that ended up being on Midnight, so was that supposed, like...
I don't know. It makes me wonder, was this going to be the album, and then she came up with Midnight, because, like, her and Joe didn't break up, and that was, like, a conceptual album.
Oh my God, that would be so... They're, like... In a rough patch, she, like, writes five songs
for tortured poets.
They get back together. Wow. She's like, oh, Jack, we gotta, like, put that on the back burner for right now.
Yeah.
She does Midnights and then comes back to Tortured Poets. Interesting.
Which, like, it's weird not that we got You're Losing Me so late. So it could be, like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing just feels kind of weird. But I agree. I don't think she finished it 2 years ago. Definitely not. I think she has been working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been a secret for 2 years. But that's earlier than Midnight's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that post-Midnight's?
Or, like, right when Midnight's came out, maybe?
Came out. Yeah. That's what I don't get.
When did Midnight's come out? Has it been 2 years?
Wasn't it, like, October?
October 21st, 2022.
So yeah, it's only been a year and a half since that came out. So she was working on these songs at the same time as Midnight Songs.
That so just hurts. Wait, You're Losing Me was written December 2021. Fuck. Someone needs to do, okay, I'm sure actually someone's done this. Someone send me a timeline TikTok. Like, if you are listening, send me a timeline, create it if you can find one, but if you've seen one, like, send it to us. Like, I need to know. I have literally no clue. And there's so many people that follow her way more closely than, like, I want to reiterate that, like, I just parrot stuff. Like, I'm not coming up with the theories. I'm just regurgitating them. Like, anyways, the Gap in the Eras tour is... in April is going to be when Tortured Poets comes out. But she has finished her Japan leg and now she's in Australia. And I think, Megan, you suggested this to talk about the insane set list that has been the surprise song in Melbourne. I think tomorrow night or the night after, she'll be in Sydney and Travis is there, which is really
is
fun.
He?
Yes, oh. There was just some PJ, like him exiting the private jet videos on TikTok, which was fun.
Love that.
Yeah, there was like some insane mashups of surprise songs. So I thought we could play Fuck, Marry, Kill with the ones from Melbourne.
Love it.
Fun.
Okay, so Fuck, Marry, Kill, these are the options. We have Red and You're Losing Me, Getaway Car / August / The Other Side of the Door, and This Is Me Trying. And then third option, come back, be here, / daylight, and teardrops on my guitar, because she was celebrating the 17th anniversary of that song being released. Jenny, what's your fuck, marry, kill?
I think marry the getaway car night, because how did she do a mashup like that? They were so lucky. They were so lucky. So that one. Fuck, come back, be here, and daylight, because I just love that she is doing mashups. And then kill Red and You're Losing Me. I'm so sorry. But just because that's like just a basic
yeah, night. Like one, yeah, one song for each. What about you, Megan?
I gotta go marry Red and You're Losing Me. Because Red's my favorite album and I love You're Losing Me. I love it. I was like listening to like the, like my screen recording of like the leak of it when it like came out on the, that one CD. Yeah. And so I love that you played it. So I gotta keep that one, even though it's not as fun. And then I'm gonna go fuck the getaway car night, because I loved that mashup and I love The Other Side of the Door. It's like one of my favorite songs from debut, so the fact that she threw it in at the end made me happy. And then I gotta kill come back be here night, because I don't love that song. I think it's fine.
That's a good option. This is actually like the hardest decision I've had to make today. Like, this is insane. I think I'm going to go, this is really tough. I'm going to marry getaway car / August / The Other Side of the Door, and This Is Me Trying. I'm going to fuck Red and You're Losing Me, and then I'm going to kill come back be here / daylight, but that is really tough because Teardrops on My Guitar is so
fave.
Like, me, I guess Our Song was probably the first song I ever listened to hers, but like it has got to be the second.
This was my first, but I was not a Swiftie until 2020, so it took me a long time. But I always loved Teardrops on My Guitar.
It's so good. So I have a friend, Nick, and we've covered a lot of Taylor Swift albums and like discussion stuff like that, and every time there's a surprise song, we'll send it to each other on Twitter DMs, and we were just talking about how absolutely brutal the surprise songs were for Tokyo. We were talking about like, does she have like some type of like grudge against this country? Because okay, they were Dear Reader, arguably, in Nick and I's eyes, the worst song she's ever written. Holy Ground, I like. Eyes Open, Electric Touch, also like, would rather die than listen to that song. Superman, The Outside, Come In With The Rain, and You're On Your Own Kid, which she's performed like a million times at this point. Brutal.
Not my favorites. Like, no big hits. Like, I feel like normally in every city she'll do like one less popular and then one huge, like really one that everyone's gonna be excited about.
Did those songs do better in Japan though?
Oh, I wonder. That's interesting. Like, I wonder if like, yeah, Superman was like a huge hit in Japan. She would probably know all of that stuff, or like her team would.
Yeah,
because it seems weird. You're right, like it seems weird to have kind of everybody's least favorites, although Electric Touch is one of my favorites.
Jenny.
Okay, I would really like it. I love
Fall Out Boy, I'm sorry.
No, if you cut Fall Out Boy, I would love the song. I would listen to it all the time. Like, when it comes up on my This Is Taylor Swift shuffled playlist, I listen to it till Fall Out Boy comes in, and then I press skip.
That's amazing.
Anyways, yeah, I was just like, what is her fucking deal with Tokyo? Because... yeah, just no, like, banger of a... other than maybe You're On Your Own Kid, no bangers. Even though I do really like Holy Ground and stuff like that, but, like, it's arguably, like, a bottom-tier song of Red. So, like, I don't know. Just so weird. Another thing that you two wanted to talk about, and then we can move on to our last segments, but just that there is... a public opinion of Taylor Swift that was really high, maybe highest it's ever been, with the Eras Tour this summer, coming off of Midnight's super successful album, obviously. But there's been some pushback about her recently. People didn't like her tortured poet's announcement. They didn't like that she was even announcing a new album. The private jet stuff is coming up, which, like, I appreciate. Yeah, and people have just been, I don't know, kind of just less favorable about her. What do you think is happening?
Honestly, I think people just got the ick from Travis at the Super Bowl and just went, no. You know what? No. You know what? No, I don't like this anymore. I've seen her too much. Put her away.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. You think it's Travis's impact?
I mean, it's been brewing, I think, for a while. Like, the private jet stuff has been going on for months, and then people kind of sick of her, you know, the million versions and the million CDs, like, that she's selling, and everything that you were saying, and she's just so overexposed. And I think we've been seeing a lot of her outside of the Eras Tour, like, outside of her bubble. She's been at a lot of award shows. We've seen her at a lot of football games, so people feel like she's everywhere. And then also, people have been rooting for her and Travis. I think that has, like, buoyed it. And then people saw Travis do the Viva Las Vegas thing and just went, ooh, I don't know. And I really feel like that was, like, a little mini switch for a lot of people.
Which, like, is kind of valid.
Fair. It's
like,
fair. It's fair.
It was so, like, caveman. Like, it was so... Yeah, it was so, like, barbaric. Like, yeah, what do you think, Jenny?
I don't know. It's funny. Megan has actually been talking about this for a really long time, I feel like. Megan, you keep saying, like, yeah, I just feel like she's everywhere. She's overexposed, and, like, people love to take down a powerful woman. And so I feel like I've been, like, ready for this, just, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so I'm not surprised. I don't like it. I love Taylor. I don't want her to get hate. I don't like that now when I go to, like, Instagram and I see a post about Taylor Swift, now instead of all of the positive comments about people loving her, I see things tearing her down or tearing Travis down, and I hate that. But I'm just not surprised. Like,
yeah. Tides always turn. Like, I think of Anne Hathaway and Jennifer Lawrence and stuff like that, just like, or Rep, like the Rep era. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can even just look back at her career. And it's brutal. I think there's a difference between being critical of some of her choices around capitalism and the environment versus, like, just being, like, shut up, you're, like, annoying or whatever. I think, like, the one thing that, like, or, like, I don't know, I guess it's the way you say it, maybe, I don't know. Sometimes I feel privileged because when you do have a podcast, you can discuss it and have, like, I feel like more nuanced, or at least we try to have more nuanced takes. Whereas, like, when you're in the comments, like, how much can you really, like, articulate, I guess? But yeah, these people firing off just, like, rude comments and stuff, it's like, that's not gonna get her to change her behavior, or, like, it's not, like, a stupid, super valid way of, I think, critiquing some of her work or her choices. I think the other thing that people are annoyed about with her is, like, her, like, victimhood, or, like, placing her as always just, like, this very, like, this person that is, like, really hard done by. And, like, I was listening to a TikTok creator earlier this week, and they were talking about how in the first part of her career, it was, like, very valid to talk about her being, like, a woman in the music industry. But they were talking about, and I'm not going to say this right, I feel like, but, like, in the second half, like, the second phase of her career or whatever, where she's the most influential person probably in the world, let alone in just, like, pop music, it's, like, hard to hear about, like, this her being the, like, victim. And it's not that she doesn't experience misogyny at, like, any stage of her career, but just the way that she positions herself, I feel like, is, I don't know, not ideal.
Agreed. Yeah. I've seen some people talk about at the Grammys her continued just, like, surprise at winning awards and, like, lack of awareness of, like, all of the talented people around her. And I feel like it's gone from humble, new, younger star to, like, feels disingenuous because it feels like she should know her place by now and know how to act appropriately. And yeah, so it's interesting to see people's opinions change on her.
Yeah, Yeah, like, I don't want her to get, like, canceled or anything.
No, I don't want another rep era. I like all the content we're getting. I'm loving it.
Oh, totally. Me too. I am team, like, more Taylor content. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, get the ick. I feel like even the people that I love the most, I'm, like, in pop culture, like, you can be, like, critical of and stuff like that. So I hope people don't take my criticism as, like, liking her any less. But, yeah, I just think it's weird. I don't know. Do you think there's any credence to the theory that she's, like, setting this up for Rep TV?
I can't imagine that she is. She's so sensitive to public opinion of her. I feel like if she had the option of it to continue being positive or to purposely make it negative, not fully knowing the consequences of that, I can't imagine she would do that. If for anything else, it like would jeopardize Rep TV sales or and just everything else that she's doing.
Yeah.
I don't see her doing that.
That's a really good point. Yeah. What do you think, Jenny?
Yeah, same. I agree. And also, I just want to touch on what you just said. Like, I think it's so important for us to talk about the people we love with a lens that's a little bit more, like, introspective. Like, it's not necessarily negative criticism to, like, discuss maybe what we wish that she could do better or different. And I think, like, it sucks that now if people say things, you just assume that it's black and white. Like, they either are girls and they love Taylor Swift or they hate Taylor Swift. And it's like, no, that's not how the world works, you know?
Totally agree. Like, no one is like, well, I don't know. I guess you can't generalize like this, but it's like, yeah, no one's like a really like an irredeemable person and then like, or like the best person to ever live. And yeah, it's tough when I feel like a lot of people have like a bad faith or going into comment sections with like bad faith and stuff like that. Like, that's not, I think, what we're doing with her.
Mm-mm. No, we still love her. Like, I'm buying that record.
So yeah. Yeah. Totally. Like, I'll be streaming it day of, like, cancel all my plans.
Oh, yes.
Like,
I'll be up till midnight. I'm not working the next day. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
Totally. It's like, I'm still getting up every morning and looking at the surprise songs and stuff like that. So, like, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, it's yeah, it's an interesting time. I think it's an interesting time for her. All of these new stages in her career are interesting to see how she handles them. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to Pettyweight Champion of the Week. So this is the part of the show where our guest is going to nominate a Pettyweight Champion of the Week, someone in the media who did something petty and it was iconic. Jenny, who are you nominating this week?
Okay, we already talked about her, but I feel like we have to touch on this some more. Dakota Johnson. Did you guys hear about the rumor that she fired her team?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Thanks for bringing that up. We totally haven't talked about that yet. Okay, yeah. Explain kind of, like, what happened.
So my interpretation of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the rumor is that she fired her team because the trailer didn't look good, but then also because she didn't realize that she wasn't actually a part of the MCU. She didn't realize that she was doing the Sony version, not the, like, Marvel version.
Oh, no. There's a difference between... Oh, no.
Megan might understand that more than I do.
I think technically Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man, and they have let Marvel include it, like, in some deal in the Avengers.
Yes.
Which is why, like, if you go to Universal Studios, you will see all the old superhero cartoons, including Spider-Man, but you will not see, like, the Tom Holland Spider-Man in Disney World anywhere, because physically I think Sony owns, or maybe physically Universal owns, like, the physical representation, and then Sony owns the movie version.
Yeah, that's why there's, like, some disconnect. Totally. I remember, I think, looking into this when I looked at all the Spider-Man couples. Like, that's the part I'm interested in, is the couples that have come out of the movies. Yeah, that's so interesting. So this is, like, the, like, quote-unquote, like, I guess, lesser, like, it's not the big box office, like, successes, I guess, of, like, the MCU.
I guess not, and I guess she wouldn't be, like, in a Marvel movie after this, because, you know, right, they're all, like interconnected.
Right, so if they do another one where they're all in it, what was that one that they did a few years ago? Was it the Avengers, where they're, like, literally all in it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, all the Marvel superheroes. Yeah,
shaking their heads at me. Yeah, so then she wouldn't be invited if they did, like, a second one of those or whatever.
Right.
Oh, interesting. But, like, she would be, it would be so weird having her there anyways because she just doesn't fit the, like, I don't know. I don't think she, like, fits into this multiverse.
Yeah, so the rumor is that she was mad about it, and then people are thinking maybe that's why she's acting too casual on the press tour and disinterested. I don't know if any of that's true, but if it is, pettyweight champion for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, like, I feel like this is a moment for her to reconsider her, like, management if they're putting her in a movie like this. And, like, you're right, like, not clarifying or defining which multiverse it is, and then also casting her in a movie that, like, I think doesn't fit her, like, style of acting and stuff.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
I'm just excited to see what she does next.
Yeah, like, where does she pivot from here? I think rom-coms is a good
indie stuff. She's so
indies, dramas, rom-coms. I liked her in the period piece. I get that people maybe, like, she doesn't have the Keira Knightley look or whatever, but
wasn't
I
that
liked
the point of that one anyway? Like, wasn't she, weren't they breaking the fourth wall and she was looking and talking to the camera?
Yeah, like, there was an aspect of, like, it kind of reminded me of the Marie Antoinette, the Sofia Coppola one, where there was, like, or Bridgerton or whatever, where it's, like, it's not a historical, it's not 100% accurate, mm-hmm. but it's still, like, a period piece. Mm-hmm.
She just needs a more serious role, but, like, serious in the 50 Shades of Grey way, where, like, she's, like, flirty and, like, being coy, you know? Because, like, she's not super emotive, but, like, being the superhero, it feels, like, a weird out of the box for her.
Or did you guys see Cha-Cha Real Smooth Mm-mm. with her in it? That's, like, Mm-mm. a good kind of indie, she's, like, a mom, but, like, a cool mom, not a regular mom. I don't know. It just fit her, for sure.
Totally. The other piece about this is because she hadn't seen the final cut of the movie, but people were... a moment from the trailer went viral where she says, he was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died. And then in the press junket, someone asked her about that viral moment, and she was like, I had no, like, why did this go viral? Like, I don't see how and stuff like that. And people are like, oh, because it's, like, kind of funny. And, like, like, again, you're not emoting. And, like, the sentence is not, like, well-structured mm-hmm. and, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she just, like, couldn't believe it. So maybe that was the tip off. Maybe she was like, yeah, actually, like, fuck these people. I'm, like, out of here.
Mm-hmm. It also would not surprise me if she just hates doing press. I feel like a lot of actors just hate doing interviews and hate doing press. So maybe she just hates it and is like, I'm just going to grin and bear it because the studio is making me do it to get my check, and then I'm out of here.
She did great on SNL. I thought.
She's so good on SNL. I was just talking about that because I was on a podcast this week, Best Week Ever, and we were talking about the press tour. She was so funny on SNL. I feel like... does she want to be a celebrity? Like, she obviously wants to be an actor, but does she actually want to be a celeb?
I don't think so. I feel like she's never out publicly doing stuff unless she's, like, promoting something because she has to, you know?
Yeah, she's, like, at the farmer's market and, like, the beach with Chris Martin.
Yeah,
I love that for her.
No, I know. That's the thing. If I was a Nepo baby, it's like, I'm just cruising.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not getting the job. No. Like, I'm not, like, striving for more. Like, I'm just sleeping 13 hours a day, going to the farmer's market, and I'm going to the beach.
Taking,
like,
a bath every day? I think she says she does that.
Yes. 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 Yeah. So, I guess we'll see. Okay, finally, it's time for This Week in Petty, where Megan is going to share a story about something that happened in her real life that she's petty about. What are you petty about this week?
I feel like in general lately, I've just been, like, enraged by the cost of everything. I feel like everything's getting so expensive. But my dog had a UTI this week, and she's a puppy. She has some defects that make her more prone to UTIs, so this is not the first time. And it cost us $900 at the vet. $900. Two vet visits, $900 for a UTI. I'm like, I could go to urgent care for $100 and get meds for $20, and that's $120.
Cipro.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. That's insane. That's so expensive.
So I've just been complaining all week because I'm like, this is absolutely insane. And my recommendation to anybody listening, the day you get a puppy, get pet insurance if you live in the U.S.
Yeah. No, in Canada, too. One of my coworkers was literally just talking about how important pet insurance was for stuff like this. That is so insane. This is why, like, it's not that I don't want a pet. I can't afford a pet. That's brutal.
Random expenses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These things that you never think about. And just life is so expensive that, yeah, it's tough. I was, like, complaining how I went to the grocery store and got a pre-made sandwich, like a sandwich from the grocery store. So it's not high qual at all or anything like mm-hmm. that. And a coffee creamer, just, like, International Delight, French vanilla, like $20.
Yeah.
$20 Ugh. Fucking dollars. That's so much at my like local grocery store. I was like crying on the way home. I was like, I guess I like need to actually like, you know, like make my own sandwich.
Yeah. I've been seeing everybody talking about how Girl Scout cookies look like a steal now. Have you guys been seeing that on TikTok? Yeah. Like, $5 for a box of cookies. And, like, I remember I was a Girl Scout forever, and, like, they used to be the hardest sell because they used to feel so expensive compared to, like, Oreos. Not now.
Wow. Yeah. That's so wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's tough. I hope your puppy is doing better. Is she on the mend?
She's good, yeah. She actually just finished her meds. She is totally fine. As, like, you guys can probably hear if you're listening, she's been, like, zooming on and off tonight. She's totally fine. We love her. She's perfect, but expensive.
Yeah. Does she take her meds like easily, or are you hiding them in cheese?
Peanut butter is required, but that's all. She'll gladly take it if it's even if there's a dot of peanut butter on there.
That's so cute. Well, I'm glad she's feeling better, and hopefully this is the last visit to the vet.
I hope so for a while.
Checkups and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. And, like, what do you even do if your dog is prone to, like, what can you even do?
We give her little baths more often.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's like, is there a, like, dog cranberry juice?
That's a very
good
question.
What I mean. Yeah.
Like a natural supplement. If I could just, like, give her a probiotic every day.
What's the equivalent to the cranberry juice? Yeah.
If there are any vets listening, I'm going to need you to message me.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny. Well, I'm glad she's doing better. Okay, this was super, super fun. Can you let the listeners know where they can find you and anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. This was a blast. So our podcast is called What We're Watching. You can find it wherever you stream podcasts. And you can follow us on Instagram or TikTok at What We're Watching Pod. And also, if you want to listen to the episode that we did with Tori, it's on The Notebook, like we were talking about earlier. It was so much fun, and I think you'll love it.
Thank you so much. What is the movie that's coming out next week?
A Cinderella Story.
Stop.
We've been doing all, like, rom-coms, romance movies in February. That's our biggest, like, throwback.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I, like,
I forgot how good it was. Watching it again, I was like, oh, yeah, so this was good. It. This was the uh-huh. movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, truly. We had the DVDs as a kid, and me and my little sister would watch it all the time. That's so fun. I can't wait to listen. Thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And there you have it. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Megan and Jenny for joining me on today's episode. I just want to say we were dead on. Taylor Swift, since this episode was recorded, has released another exclusive track, a different album cover, like, that exact thing we were talking about, and it's called The Albatross. So there is tons of content on TikTok debating what that could mean. And she's finished, I think, 3 nights in Sydney, maybe 2 at this point. But DM me your fuck, marry, kill, because she is continuing to do these mashups. It's so wild. I have no idea why. Over on Patreon, I talked about celebrity social media fails, like the infamous Rita Ora incident or Scott Disick putting copyright in his Instagram captions. It was super, super fun. So you can check that out at patreon.com/rtbppodcast. And I'd like to shout out two of our beautiful patrons, Kyle C and Rachel S. Thank you so much for being patrons. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope all of your traffic lights are green this week. I hope you wake up refreshed and ready for your work day and that you get like no spam calls or junk emails. Mwah, thank you again so, so much. Over on Ready to Be Romance, my other pod, I just covered people we meet on vacation with Hannah A. Brown, who is from You Know You Love Us, Gossip Girl podcast and TikTok. And we are covering Twilight this week with my friend Megan and Jenna from Date Card Pod. So you can look out for that. I was also on Best Week Ever with Vanessa. We talked about all of the trending pop culture stories that happened this past week. Most of them were ones that I haven't talked about on the podcast yet. So if you are interested in some of my takes on like Vanderpump Rules and that epic Prince William picture and like stuff like that, you can head on over to Best Week Ever podcast. Okay, friends, I hope you are safe and healthy out there. As always, I'm your host, Tori, and I am ready to be petty. See you soon. Bye.